Better late than never, Congress managed to complete the heavy lifting and pass a budget for 2016. Now what? Lawmakers are off duty until after the start of the new year. And then what happens? For a look ahead, we turn to CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. David, good to have you back.
Nice to be back.
And so they did do the heavy lifting. There is a budget for 2016, what's left of it. And so are they completely done, but they come back in session after the first of the year? What do you think is going to be top of the agenda?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I guess is worth mentioning at the top is that they are speaking with one voice about, with seeming sincerity and some evidence that they can pull it off, about returning to a regular budget process in the new year. As you mentioned just a second ago, right, the year we're in, as every listener knows, probably is several months old. So this budget that they just agreed to only lasts till the end of September. And in order for Congress to seriously, you know, write a budget and apportion these spending numbers and set the policies, it's a year-long process. Now, and they say that with the top line on spending set, with the sequester spending caps eased up, not only for the year that they just finished, but for the year that begins in October, that should make writing 12 individual bills and moving them relatively in an orderly way should be easier. And both parties, both Harry Reid in the Senate, who has the power to gum things up, says that he will allow that process to work. And Paul Ryan says that's one of his top priorities for the new year. So I think that's actually, it seemed, usually I'd be pretty cynical about it, but I guess I've become somewhat persuaded that they're really going to give this the try. If they do 12 different bills, and if they get them done before the election, it'll be the first time in essentially 20 years that will have happened.
Now, February 5th or so, sometime around early February, just a few weeks from now, is when the president would submit the final request for 2017. And if he does that on time, it's been a month late the last couple of years. If that's on time, that gives them a pretty long runway to get this done.
It does. It does. And you're right that it's been late. The reason that it's been late is that the president and OMB says persuasively that absent a finished budget, it's hard to make a budget for the new year unless you know what you're starting with. I don't know if getting it done before Christmas gives the OMB number crunchers all the time that they need to get it done by the first Monday. It's supposed to be the first Monday in February, I believe, is the law. But it'll come pretty soon, pretty close to that. Congress is not going to be in session for as many days in the new year as it has been in this year, because it's an election year and because they don't really expect to be doing too much else beside the budget. So, but that said, there is enough time for them to do the hearings and to actually write the 12 different bills. And we will have earlier than usual in terms of a sign of where the president's priorities are for his last year, is we're going to have the State of the Union on January 12th, which is about 2 weeks earlier than usual.
Now, in the OMB guidance that has been going to agencies for their 2017 preparations, they've been pretty consistent in asking for slight reductions and no increases, at least the discretionary or operational portions of that. And so if the administration is looking for basically flat budgets, could that also presage a little bit of an easier process if they try regular order?
I think you're exactly right that a lot of this is there's agreement. They're actually now with the top line numbers set for next year as well as this year, that should in theory should ease the process. And the way things ended up last week also was a pretty good signal that that the efforts by the Republican majority to complicate things by adding these policy riders will be met with a pretty big stiff arm by the president. He's still the president. Yes, he's a lame duck, but when he raises his hand and says, no, I'm just not even going to discuss that, which is he pretty much did this past week, that's a pretty good sign that things could move quickly as well.
We're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor of CQ Roll Call, and a couple of interesting developments now that might be worth talking about and might affect federal agencies in some way. There's a debate among at least a small group of members of the House, but they're from both parties, of authorizing warfare against ISIS. What chances does that have, if any, and anything we can infer from the discussions themselves?
You know, I think it's been a fascinating group that is agitating for this. It's some of the most conservative Republicans and some of the most liberal Democrats. They're coming at it from totally different points of view. Many of the conservative Republicans want a very hawkish approach to combating ISIS, and many of the liberal Democrats are sort of peaceniks who want to limit this campaign pretty dramatically. But what they both say is at least Congress should vote. Now, that is, while they are not small and ideologically interesting, they don't really have enough stroke to overcome the bipartisan interests of the leadership. Both Mitch McConnell and, to a lesser extent, Paul Ryan have said they really don't want to take this up in an election year. What McConnell says is he doesn't want a vote that would hamstring the next president, no matter which party that person comes from. But the bottom line is, in an election year, there is no easy consensus on what to do about ISIS, and forcing Congress to write something that may or may not even get a majority approval and then would be tied around the necks of some members in close races is not what the leadership wants to do.
And, of course, the most recent bill for the funding also included cybersecurity measures that have been long awaited. So the next frontier there, to switch gears here again, is encryption and whether the government should have a backdoor to encryption on mobile devices and so forth. Industry pretty much opposes that. I think there's more stomach for it in Congress. Any predictions on what that might come to?
I think you'll hear some noise about it, but I think in the end, the industry is probably going to win that lobbying war. I think Congress is not going to take up something that baits such an important industry in an election year. And I think that there are absolutely some lawmakers who agree with the industry's point of view that giving the government that backdoor is just inappropriate as a civil liberties matter, including plenty of the Republicans.
And just a final issue that came up again in that last deal was the Democrats siding with some Republicans in repealing the Cadillac tax, the so-called tax on expensive health care plans.
That's right.
And also the medical device tax, which was originally only the Republicans seemed to hate that, but some Democrats joined them. And so is that evidence of the lame duckness, and could we see any more breaks in policy between Democrats on the Hill and the White House in the coming year?
I think probably not on Obamacare. Yes, there will be. There will be. The longer we get towards, or the closer we get to the end of the president's term, the more Democrats will feel like they have more freedom to express themselves differently than the president, and whatever loyalty they feel to him will start to fade. It'll start to turn to their next nominee. I don't know where Secretary Clinton is on these taxes, although I'd assume she'd want them put back because she's a fan of Obamacare. It was not an absolute repeal. I thought that it was an absolute repeal on these. Instead, they were just delayed for 1 or 2 years, the Cadillac tax and the medical device tax. So the debate will come back in time for the next president to weigh in. So there will be other things that the president and the Democrats in Congress can part company on. There's going to be an audit the Fed bill early in the new year that will probably fail, but is Mitch McConnell's attempt to throw a political lifeline to his buddy Rand Paul, who wants to audit the Fed. There's going to be criminal justice legislation that will split some Democrats from the White House. There will be trade legislation. That's probably going to be one of the big debates that will also split some Democrats from the White House. So you'll see that more and more.
All right. So should be an interesting year, lame duck year, coming into an election year and maybe regular order. Paul Ryan going to stay the speaker?
I think he definitely wants to. He had a year-end press conference last year in which he was sort of said, you didn't really want this job. How are you liking it? And he made a pretty persuasive case that he's settling in pretty well, and at the moment the most confrontational, antagonistic conservative Republicans, the so-called Freedom Caucus types, have given him a pretty wide berth to operate as he wants to operate. So at the moment he seems like he's enjoying it, and nobody's clamoring for his head just yet, but a lot of that could change in the new year.
David Hawkings is senior editor of CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks for that insight.
Thanks, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.